Hi, and welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, a registered nutritional therapy practitioner and functional medicine practitioner. Join me as we explore thyroid, brain, and fatigue conditions with positivity. From Hashimoto's to multiple sclerosis, chronic fatigue to adrenal dysfunction, I've got you covered. With expert advice and tips to help you take action now and inspiring real patient stories from successful individuals who refuse to let their health hold them back. Start your journey to good health today. And don't forget to come and join the conversation on Instagram at good_health, that's G-O-O-D-E, or visit my website at nicolegoodhealth.com to find out more. So in today's episode, we are answering a question that I get asked about all the time. So this is gluten and Hashimoto's. Do you really need to avoid it and why? So today we're going to do a short deep dive into this very, very specific topic. There is more than one reason why we need to look at removing gluten from the diet in people with Hashimoto's. And actually today we're going to look at six different reasons why we do that. Let's jump straight in. So reason number one is intestinal permeability. Now, we've done a whole episode on gluten and intestinal permeability and the impacts of that. So we will link that episode in the show notes below this one. So if you want to go and have a listen to that, you can do. But what we're going to look at here is specifically how this impacts in terms of Hashimoto's. So with any autoimmunity or thyroid condition, it is common that intestinal permeability is a root cause. Now, it may not be the sole root cause because there's rarely just one. We usually find that, you know, there's a few different root causes that come up. But intestinal permeability is one of the common root causes. Intestinal permeability is when the cells of the intestine wall, which we call tight junctions, open up wider than we want them to. So these tight junctions, this particular type of cell, they should open up to some extent. Because by doing that, what they're doing is allowing nutrients through into your bloodstream. So this is how we get vitamins and minerals through into our bloodstream and get them absorbed by the body. But as they open up wider, they allow things through that should be eliminated through the digestive system. So these nutrients and vitamins are quite small molecules. We don't need these tight junctions to open up very much. A lot of the molecules that need to be eliminated are larger. So by opening up these tight junctions wider, we are letting more and more things through from the digestive system that should be eliminated into your bloodstream. Now, once these things are in your bloodstream, there is only one way to eliminate them, and that is the immune system. So the immune system must be activated in order to come and mop them up. So with autoimmunity, such as Hashimoto's and actually Graves' as well, the last thing that we want is a constantly activated immune system. So we have to remember that if you have Hashimoto's, we look at these antibody levels. We measure these TPO and TG antibodies, and these are elevated in people with Hashimoto's. So these antibodies tag your thyroid tissue. So they don't actually cause the damage, but they basically put like a red flag in your thyroid tissue. Your immune system that is then doing the rounds sees these flags and thinks that that tissue is foreign or dangerous and needs to be eliminated. So your tissue gets damaged. If you have Hashimoto's, you have these antibodies that are flagging this tissue. If you have things in the body like intestinal permeability that is activating your immune system and causing it to run in overdrive, more of these flagged tissues are going to be found and destroyed, leaving you with more permanent thyroid damage. So that's reason number one. Okay, so to the second reason, we also don't want an overactive immune system, because it causes inflammation in the body. And this overactive immune system and inflammation can actually act as a trigger for autoimmunity itself. So we know that once you have one autoimmune disease, you commonly develop more. And any inflammation in the body or overactivity of that immune system could act as a trigger for another autoimmune disease other than the Hashimoto's that you've already got. So the third reason is, again, we don't want this overactive immune system because it causes this increase in inflammation in the body. And this can actually take away from energy production. So we know that with Hashimoto's, fatigue is a problem. Having this overactivated immune system uses a lot of energy and can actually leave you, it can take away from energy production. So it can leave you more fatigued. So in thyroid patients, a gluten-free diet has been shown in studies to reduce TPO antibody levels, reduce TG antibody levels, increase vitamin D levels, improve those inflammation markers, and result in less immune reactivity, which actually leads to increased energy. This does also mean that for some, it can result in an ability to decrease your thyroid medication with the doctors as your body reaches better balance. Reason number four, moving away from this sort of inflammation and overactive immune picture, we actually today don't eat the same wheat that previous generations harvested. So you're not eating the gluten that your grandparents ate. And a lot of people ask, why did our ancestors, why did our grandparents, we don't have to go very far back, why did they not have a problem with gluten? Because, you know, many didn't. It's because we're actually now consuming this sort of hybrid grain that they have created to be drought resistant, bug resistant, and faster growing because they want to make more money. So these hybrid grains have a new protein structure that is not found in the original wheat plants. It's slightly different. And these new proteins are part of the problem because this is part of the problem that has led to this increased system inflammation and intolerance of gluten. And this all ties in with molecular mimicry, which is reason number five. So let's look at molecular mimicry. Gluten has a similar protein structure to the thyroid tissue, and gluten can therefore result in the immune system attacking the thyroid gland. So every time your body is exposed to a dangerous invader from outside, your immune system memorizes its structure, specifically this protein structure. It does this so that it can develop the perfect defense to that pathogen. It can recognize it in the future and keep you safe from it. But the immune system's recognition system isn't perfect. So as long as this molecule structure, these protein sequences are similar enough, the immune system can be fooled into attacking what looks like, you know, lookalike molecules that are actually your body's own tissue. And that can be a cause of autoimmune disease. So unfortunately for the thyroid, gluten particularly has this similarity to thyroid tissue. And these new hybrid strains of the wheat have got an even more similar protein structure to the ancient grains that our ancestors used to eat. And this is actually a reason why some people find when they go to places like Italy, they don't get as many symptoms, as much of an impact from eating gluten, things like pasta over there as they do here, because generally over there, they're still using the ancient grains. So that can sometimes be a reason why people notice a difference in different countries. So that's reason number five. Reason number six is that the vast majority of Hashimoto's patients have been found to have at least one of the HLA-DQ genes. Now, these are the genes that cause celiac. So this doesn't necessarily mean that everybody with Hashimoto's will have celiac. They are common that they do come together, but it doesn't necessarily mean you will have celiac. But you could have one of these genes, one of these HLA-DQ genes. And that would mean that you're not celiac, but you are at least gluten sensitive. And this is very, very common in people with Hashimoto's. So people with Hashimoto's commonly fall somewhere on the spectrum of being at least gluten sensitive and at worst celiac. If celiac, you're going to see obviously a huge improvement from removing gluten. That has to be done. But even if you are just sensitive to gluten, you're going to get reduced inflammation in the body. And that sort of decrease of eating gluten is going to be really, really key. So as you can see, there's multiple reasons why we remove gluten from the diet in people with Hashimoto's. If removing gluten is something that you're really keen to do, you can access my gluten and dairy-free nutrition plan. This gives you a meal plan. It gives you shopping lists. It gives you recipes to help you get gluten-free with ease. And you'll still be able to enjoy really delicious meals and nourishing food. We'll link the plan below this episode in the show notes so that you can access it really easily. And I will be back next week with another great guest on the Good Health Podcast. I hope you'll join me then. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Good Health Podcast. Do share the episode with anyone who you think it may benefit or who may enjoy it, and help me spread the word by rating the episode or leaving a review. If you want more, you can find other episodes in the series on your podcast app or sign up to my free newsletter. Not only will you get information on new episodes launching, but we cover lots of health topics with the Ask Nicole section where you can send in your questions, my favorite recipes, my favorite products, tips and tricks to help you on the road to good health, and much more. You can sign up free of charge at nicolegoodhealth.com/newsletter, also linked below. I hope you have a lovely week. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and I'll see you next time.